Welcome. Thank you for watching this teaching video from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. Please check out our other videos and don't forget to like and subscribe. Our mission is to help people come to know Jesus better and love Him more every day. We believe this will not only help our own spiritual growth, but also help us better influence the community and the world for Christ. For more information about Oak Tree, please visit us at oaktreechurch.com. There you'll find past message series, online giving options, and more information about our discipleship process that we call The Path. Now, enjoy this message. We'd love to hear from you in the comments or the website contact form. Thank you.
So, as a reminder, what we're going through right now is church structure. And as the year in general, what we're trying to focus on is what is God's plan for the church? And we decided there's really three big questions that go with that. What are we to be? What are we supposed to do? And how are we supposed to do it? And what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do are pretty straightforward. Everyone can agree on that in Scripture. But how we're supposed to do it, that's where the confusion starts to come in. And as we go about fulfilling our purpose of the church, both at the global C church level and the local little C church level, we find that there is an identified structure in the church. There is specific forms of governing laid out for us to follow. And what we see is that there are three types of members in the church, the family of God. There are the elders, and we just spent 2 weeks learning about them. They're the overseers, the shepherds of the flock of God. They're the ones who are supposed to lead and guide the church, their local churches. Then we have the deacons, and we'll spend more time in them in a couple of weeks. But simply put, the deacons are the ones who are qualified to assist the elders in their work. Finally, we have members. Members is the broadest category, and that's where everyone, including deacons and elders, fits in. And this is what we're going to spend the next 2 weeks talking about. So when we talk about the members of the body of Christ, there's actually two different distinct ways to look at that. And the two ways we see that is both through the lens of the global church and the local church. The global church membership is every single person who has placed their faith in Christ. Every person who has placed their faith in Christ has qualified for membership on a global level. But what about the local church? The local church is a little more varied. It's subject to the individual churches, their leadership, and their rules. And unfortunately, we don't have time today to go through all the different qualifications for every member of the churches who are even like-minded, not to mention all the different churches out there who do believe differently than us. But the good thing is, we don't have to. One of the cool things that Jesus set up in the New Testament is the division of the global and local church. Each local church is made up of its members, has its leaders, and its rules. And just like we learned over the last 2 weeks about elders and pastors and their roles, we learned that the members of each local church has their own roles as well. And this isn't to say that people are limited to serving only when they connect to a local church or only in their local area. But there are limited qualifications and rules based on the local church. And with that being said, what we're going to do today and next week is look at the qualifications and qualities for our local members, for our church. But one thing I want to do before we get into our membership is back up and talk about, well, what does it mean to be a member? So what is membership? Well, first of all, membership is not a privilege. A lot of places tend to look at membership as a privilege. You get to sit back, watch something happen, enjoy the benefits of it. However, when it comes to the church, membership is a partnership. It's about being actively involved in the ministry of that church, both at a global and a local level. One thing we saw earlier this year when we were looking at what are members of the church is that the church is a family. We saw at the beginning of the series, one of the best examples in the Bible is the family of God. And every family has members, and every church has members. And what do we see in the Bible about the members of the church? Well, in 1 Peter 3:8, it says, "Finally, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, affectionate, compassionate, and humble." And in 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Do not address an older man harshly, but appeal to him as a father. Speak to younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with complete purity." These are just a couple of verses that talk about how members of the church are supposed to interact. The basic thing is, the church is a family. It's not a business. It's not supposed to be run as a for-profit. We're not here to make growth. We're not here to try to make ourselves bigger, to be the best one around. Instead, we're here to help each other, to be compassionate, gentle, to guide each other, to love one another and gather together as a family to learn more about our Father. So with that, what are the qualifications for members? What do you have to do to be a member? Well, being a member for the big church, the global church, is really easy. One thing required: salvation. As I pointed out earlier, every single person who has personally accepted Christ as their Savior automatically becomes a member of the global church. It sounds simple, and it should be simple. Yet even here, people tend to get confused. So let's examine salvation. Salvation is the defining moment in a person's life where they acknowledge and accept that several facts are truth. What are these facts? First of all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single person is sinful. And until a person realizes and accepts that they are sinful, they have no need of a Savior. The next thing is, okay, I accept that I'm sinful. What next? The penalty for sin is death. And it's not just a physical death. It's an eternal separation from God. The cost of sin isn't a balancing act. You don't have to do more good deeds than bad deeds. No one can be good enough to save themselves. Every single person has sinned, and because of the cost, every single person deserves eternal separation. And if left to ourselves, no one can ever do enough to pay off that debt. The good part is, we don't have to. God already provided us with the ultimate payment, the ultimate sacrifice. God the Father sent Jesus Christ, God himself in the flesh, as the payment for our sin. Jesus was fully human. He was tempted just as we were. Yet he still lived a perfect life. He never once sinned. He suffered and died on a cross, not because of his sins, but because of ours. And God accepted his death, his payment, once for all, for the sin of the world. And what's our requirement in this process? What's our requirement for salvation? To believe. Believe exactly that what was just stated is the absolute truth. The Bible says that once we believe this, believe in Jesus as the Savior, at that exact moment, you transition from a lost person into a member of the global church, a member of God's family. That's the only requirement for being a member of the global church. However, many people try to add stipulations. Many people try to add unbiblical things that are more extreme than what God required. One of the biggest things is, well, there's a special prayer. You have to pray exactly this way. But that means salvation isn't a heart issue, it's a word issue. There are people out there who know a perfect Lord's Prayer. They can say every right word. They could pray a perfect salvation prayer and yet never believe it in their heart. And likewise, there are a lot of people in a lot of churches, especially younger people, who don't know all the right words. They stumble through the prayer. They say all the wrong things. But in their heart, they believe. And salvation is belief. It is not words. What's cool about that is you don't have to worry about remembering the exact words you spoke. There are people who've been saved for 30, 40 years. And guess what? Sometimes you can't remember what you had for breakfast 2 days ago. But you're supposed to remember those words you spoke 30 years ago to prove that you were saved? That's a comfort, because the words don't matter. What matters is that you can remember a defining moment in your life where for the first time you knew these facts, you accepted them, and you believed them. And if you remember that, doesn't matter if you remember a single word you said, In your heart, you believed, and that means you're saved. So besides just prayer, some people try to add physical proofs, physical signs for salvation. I've heard it said that you're not saved until you tell someone. And depending on what evangelical background you choose, some people say you're not saved until you tell a person in authority over you. Some places like to say, well, you can't be saved until your life shows it, until you act like you're saved. And there are some places that go so far as to say, until the moment you die, you can't be sure if you're saved. Only once you die and stand before God can you be confident if you were saved or not. If you're interested, we can discuss these more in second hour. These aren't the point today. What the point is that these things are all false. There is no extra requirement for joining the family of God besides just salvation. And the sad thing is that when people go around and they add all these qualifications, you're telling somebody who has already become a member of the family, sorry, you're not ready yet. Sorry, you don't qualify yet. You're holding back a member that God has already accepted. So the big thing here is that, well, what about all these things? Shouldn't we grow? Shouldn't we learn these things? Shouldn't we get better? Yes, but salvation is only a first step. It's the beginning of membership. It's not the end. We just went through an entire year last year looking at growth. We talk about the path around here a lot. We talk about growing, looking, seeing. And the beginning of this year, we looked at examples of the church, and all those examples had growth in them. So yes, God does expect, he wants and desires that every one of his children grow up, and every one of his children should want to grow up. However, growing up, maturity, it comes with time, it comes with focus, and it comes with practice, and it's not necessary for salvation. Everything comes after salvation. That's all that you need for the global church is salvation. However, some of you out there might be thinking, wait, you missed something. Isn't baptism in the Bible? And if you're thinking that, you're right. But before you go, aha, I gotcha. Baptism is not for the global church. Baptism is where you move past just being a member of the global into, I want to become a member of a local church. We call it water baptism. And what is water baptism? It's an outward demonstration of an internal decision. It's not a necessary part of that decision. It's not a continuation of that decision. It's a separate physical action that has been taken after an internal decision has already been made. Like I said earlier, salvation is internal. It is faith and belief. At the moment someone believes, they are saved, even if no one else knows. Even if no one else knows for a long time, that doesn't stop them from being saved. God said, the moment you believe, you are in. You are a part of the family. So if that's the case, what does baptism actually do? Why is it important? Baptism is where a member of the family finally moves from just an internal decision to an external acknowledgement. It's where they publicly declare, I'm in the family. You can know that I am a fellow brother or sister. They were already in before, but no one else knew that. Baptism is where you go, okay, I'm ready to let everyone else know I'm a part of the family. This is why baptism is not a global church qualification, because it's not getting into membership. It's where you announce yourself, hey, I'm ready to join in with those around me. Unless we live-streamed every baptism across the world, baptism wouldn't be for the global church anyway. Baptism is for those who are around you to see and identify you as a fellow believer. And because of that, baptism is only for believers. That's an important distinction to make. Baptism is not meant to be done to someone who's not already made that decision. There's no biblically sound reason to baptize infants, to baptize those just in case, or to baptize anyone who's not accepted Jesus. Here at Oak Tree specifically, we only baptize children first when they have their parents' permission, and second, when the child can explain salvation and baptism and why they believe it. It's not about forcing somebody into it. It's about being ready. And so we do not baptize someone, adult or child, until they can explain why they want to be baptized. The other thing is that baptism is supposed to be a one-time thing. It's supposed to be one and done. There's no rededication where you screwed up in your life, you made a mistake, before you can be welcomed back, you got to rededicate yourself. You have to be baptized again. Because what is baptism? Baptism is a physical sign of salvation. And is salvation something that has to be redone every time you fall away? No. Salvation is once for all. Therefore, baptism should also be a one-time demonstration. And as long as a person has been baptized before, and as long as that baptism was after and as a result of salvation, then we at Oak Tree say that is a genuine baptism. You do not have to be baptized again here, even if you want to be a member. As long as you can say, I have been baptized, it was in front of witnesses, and it was because of my salvation, that's your sign and your proof. Baptism is not meant to be done every time you go anywhere and meet new people. So that's the most important qualification for membership. But what about other qualifications, especially here at Oak Tree? Well, if we're going to talk about qualifying for membership at a church, the next most important thing is to make that church your home. Here at Oak Tree, we require that everyone who wishes to be a member makes Oak Tree Community Church your home. The saying is, home is where the heart is. Home is where you value it. And members at Oak Tree are expected to gather together, to attend services, groups, classes, to be involved at church. Now, this isn't a blanket statement that, oh, guess what? You missed one service. You obviously don't care. You don't value church here. No. Life happens. Things happen. What does that mean to make Oak Tree your home church? It means that you acknowledge, I belong to this church. I belong here. This is where I want to be. And so because of that, a couple things is that before anyone is considered for membership here, we wait until they have attended regularly for at least 2 months. This is because one of the things we saw over the last 2 weeks on the teaching of elders and pastors is that there are wolves out there. Wolves are coming. They have come. And they're going to keep coming. And one of the jobs of the elders is to protect their flock from being devoured by wolves. And guess what? You don't protect your flock by opening the gates and letting the wolves come right in. One of the best ways to responsibly protect Oak Tree is to make sure that anyone who's considered for membership, not for coming, but for membership, for being an integral part, is actually fit for that membership. It's not going to hurt the rest of the members. So what else does it mean when you say, I want to make Oak Tree my home? Well, one of the things about a church, especially here, is that we have certain things we believe and teach. There are a lot of little things in the Bible that people can disagree on. Well, I think that this is translated the, and you think this is translated then. Okay, we can agree to disagree on that. But there are certain things in the Bible that we call doctrine. These are hard facts and truths that we hold to here. And we believe here that our doctrine, what we build our foundation on, is what makes the difference in our lives, what makes the difference in our growth and our practices. And a part of calling Oak Tree your home is saying that you identify with us. And if you're going to identify with us, you should know what we teach and believe here. So what are the major points that we hold and teach here? There are 15 of them. I'm going to put them up and read through them real quickly, but I'm not going to go through all of them today. That would take a long time. But guess what? Our major points are both out in the lobby, on our statement of faith, and on our website. And I encourage everyone to read through them. These 15 points are the Bible, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, angels, Satan, every person, sin, salvation, the church, all Christians, end times, civil government, gender, sexuality, and marriage. And again, we have what we hold to, what we hold firm about these 15 things on our statement of faith. And I highly recommend that whether it's your first time hearing these 15 things, or whether you've been a member here for a long time, that you grab one of these, read through it, and make sure you know what we teach here. It doesn't matter where you fall on these things, because when you become a member, you declare that you identify with Oak Tree. And one thing you can expect here at Oak Tree is that what we put in there is how we're going to teach it. It is what we hold to. And that's why it's important that you know. And again, it doesn't matter if you agree with every individual point that we put on there, because once you become a member here, whether you agree or not, that's what will be taught here. And you should be expecting that. You should expect us to teach you that. And you shouldn't be surprised when we teach you that way. So what else is important for a member? Well, another important thing for members is to be giving. This is not to say that we measure out exactly how much money each person gives, and we look at the lowest person giving each week, and they're disqualified. Yes, I'm being a little joking here, but I was going to say this during second hour, but it's in the news right now. There's a church that was in the news recently because they put out a thing requiring every single member to turn in their W-2s. It's happening. It happens all the time. There are churches that put so much emphasis on money. That's not the point. But giving is something that's important, and it's something that's expected of its members. But what is giving? Well, giving is about more than money. It's about effort. You can give your money. The church appreciates when you give your money, and it is helpful. But two things. First of all, there's no place in the New Testament that requires each member to give a certain amount. In fact, the only requirement for giving in the New Testament is that it should be done out of a willing heart. Not out of requirement, not out of being forced, but out of a willingness. The other thing about giving is that giving is more than just money. Giving is about time and ability, effort. Every single person has a set amount of time in this life. And every single person has the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you give your time, your effort, it's saying, I choose to make Oak Tree a priority. It's not saying you can't have any life outside of church. It's instead where you recognize the importance of Oak Tree in your life and make the effort to serve. Time is a cost. There is a cost involved. And when you give time to one part of your life, you're actually stealing time from the rest of your life. That's just how it works. You can't be everywhere at once. When you choose to give your time, especially to church, you're saying that even if I have to take time away from something else or someone else, I'm making this a priority for this amount of time. Giving is also about your ability. Last year we learned that every believer has a shape. Shape stands for our spiritual gifts, our hearts, our abilities, our personality, and our experience. And within our shape, you can serve God in every part of your life. But as a member, you can also use your shape to serve at Oak Tree. Next week, we're going to be looking a little more at the practical side of membership, but it's important that when you look at what qualifies for a member, what is expected out of a member, you understand that membership is an active thing. It's not just a passive stamp. It's something you should be doing. Ultimately, giving is about placing your heart, your treasure at Oak Tree. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And when you give your time, your ability, your money, your life to the church, you value it more. And your value of the church should be high when you want to be a member of it. It should be your focus. The other thing we expect out of our members is that they are going to grow. Again, I already pointed out earlier that growth is not a requirement for qualifying. However, growth is something that is expected after you become a member of the global church. Likewise, we don't expect somebody to display a certain level of maturity before they can become a member. However, we expect that after somebody becomes a member, they're ready to grow. We talk a lot about the path around here, and the path is found in 2 Peter 1, 5-8, And I want to read that again. In 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith excellence, to excellence knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly affection, and to brotherly affection unselfish love." And verse 8 is really important. "For if these things are really yours and are continually increasing, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your pursuit of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ more intimately." Local church membership is a part of excellence. It's where we move beyond just faith, just being saved, being a part of a global member only, and actively seek to grow, to expand, and become a more mature member of the family. This is one of the purposes of the local church, to help the members of the global church grow and mature and come to say, as we say around here, to know him better and love him more. And part of becoming a member is saying, "I'm ready. I want to grow." Like I said earlier, membership is a partnership. And the church's side of that partnership is helping you grow. And when you become a member at Oak Tree, you're declaring you don't want to be a passive observer anymore. You want to be involved, you want to participate, and you want to grow up right here. Interesting fact, for those of you who don't know, where do we get our church name from? From two different passages in the Bible. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, and Isaiah 61, 3. Psalm 1, 1 to 3 says, "How blessed is the one who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the assembly of scoffers. Instead, he finds pleasure in obeying the Lord's command. He meditates on his commands day and night. He is like a tree planted by flowing streams. It yields its fruits at the proper time, and its leaves never fall off. He succeeds in everything he attempts." In Isaiah 61:3, talking to Israel, he says, "To strengthen those who mourn in Zion by giving them a turban instead of ashes, oil symbolizing joy instead of mourning, a garment symbolizing praise instead of discouragement. They will be called oaks of righteousness, trees planted by the Lord to reveal his splendor." And like a tree that's planted by the water that grows up strong, our church, we want to be planted, fed by the Bible to grow up strong. And we want the local member to be planted, fed, to grow up strong. And when you plant yourself here, when you say, "This is where I am going to stick down and grow," one of the goals of the church is to feed and water you, to make sure that you do grow up strong, an oak of righteousness. And what do we look at over the last couple of weeks? Qualifications for elders. And one thing that both Gary and Daniel mentioned was that even though they are expected qualities for elders, they're recommended qualities for members. Yes, elders have to have these qualities or they can be disqualified. As a member, you don't have to have the same qualifications that an elder does. We're not going to disqualify you because you don't fit every category. But the reason the elders have these qualities, should have these qualities, is because they're supposed to be leading, growing, and demonstrating them so that every member can grow into them as well. The three places we find these qualities are in 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, Titus 1, 6-9, and 1 Peter 5, 1-5. I'm not going to go over them because we just went over them over the last 2 weeks. But if you've never read through those sections on your own, I highly recommend it because they are good qualities for every believer. The point is, even if you're a new believer, a baby, you don't know anything but faith, you can still qualify for membership, but you should be ready and you should understand that once you become a member, you're going to be pushed, you're going to be pruned and gardened so that you grow. And growth isn't always easy. It's not always fun. It can be a little messy. But part of the church's goal is to grow its members, not just build its members. We're not trying to get a lot of members and then not do anything with them once you become a member. The goal of the local church is to grow up its members so that they can be good, strong, and mature. And no matter how far along you think you are, there's always still room for growth. Members are not expected only to grow themselves, but to grow others. Once you become a member, you're saying that you're committing yourself to the path here. That's what we use here as our measurement of growth. And one thing about the path is when we study it, we find that it provides training. That's the knowledge, the self-control, perseverance, and godliness. And it provides an outlet for that training, brotherly affection and unselfish love. Brotherly affection is where you take what you have grown in, what you're learning in your own life, and you pour it out on your fellow believers, especially those inside your local church, but it can be your fellow believers in the global church. And unselfish love is where you pour out and demonstrate the hope that is found within you to the unbelieving world at large, but again, especially those around you. And again, that is again more of what we'll look at next week when we talk about what members are expected to do. But if you want to look at what a member is expected, what is a good quality, be prepared. Because again, membership is active. It's not passive. When we talk about membership at large, it all boils down to one thing. Membership is commitment. Members are the backbone of every church. Without members, there is no church. There's just an empty building with lights on or off, depending on who's paid the bills. Membership can look different at every church, and that's okay, because the local church is guided by individual leaders and has individual members. But what always remains the same is the gospel. Every member of the local church should be a member of the global church, and every member of the global church is a person who's accepted Jesus as their Savior, has salvation, has faith. We all have a common faith, a common goal, a common love, and a common family. We are in common with one another. And yes, even though every local church can have slightly different qualities, expectations, goals, every church is but a small part of God's global family. Members of the church are the reason for the church. The church is a gathering place for the members to come together to share what they have in common. The members are the core group of every local church. The members are the focus of the leadership. The leaders are to protect their flock, their small portion that God has assigned them. There is no one leader who's assigned over every member of the global church. Therefore, members are who the leader focuses on. They're the ones who belong to that little flock that God has given them. The members are also here to help each other, to learn from each other, to grow together, so that each and every one of us can become more like Christ. And again, membership is a commitment, not a partnership, not a privilege. When you become a member of any local church, you're declaring that you're no longer just a guest, even a regularly attending guest. You're no longer just visiting. You're no longer here just for what you can get out of it. You're now saying, what can I give back to it? What can I do now that I belong here? How can I help this church, this small piece of God's family, grow to be what it was intended? That's what membership is and looks like. So what's my challenges for today? I only have two of them. First one is really same question. It's, are you a member or have you made that commitment before anywhere? If you've never even considered becoming a member or thought about what it means to be a member, start today. Especially at Oak Tree, go out there, look at our statement of faith, get our membership covenant, decide, is Oak Tree my home or is it just the place I visit on Sundays? Talk to Gary or Daniel about becoming a member. Start the process. Confirm that you belong here, that you are a part of this family, this small local family that you want to help grow and mature and guide together. My second question is, for those of you who are members, what are you doing with that membership? Are you just here to watch, to observe what goes on, and then go on with your week? Or are you involved, giving focus and effort to what goes on here? Are you growing yourself? Are you growing others? Are you learning and guiding? Again, we'll go over more next week what it means to live out a membership. But part of membership is active. It's not passive. It's not privilege. It's what can I do? So are you looking at membership as what can I get out of it? Or what can I give back to it? What can I do for this small flock of sheep that God has entrusted in this local area?